Welcome to Sperio, the local voice of our hemisphere, here on WMBR Cambridge. I'm Mary Masterman, and I'm joined in the studio today by my co-hosts, Jasmine.
Hi.
And Kendra.
Hi.
Okay. And today we're going to talk to you about Mexico, specifically, and about drug trafficking in Mexico and how all of this stuff has been so problematic lately. And we have some news articles we want to read to you, and we'll be playing some Mexican music throughout just as to go along with the theme. And we have some clips to show you. So,
but first, we'd like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. Also, you're more than welcome to call us during the show at 617-253-8810, or email us in English, Spanish, Portuguese, or even French at sperio@wmbr.org. And you can catch this and all of our previous shows on the web, too, on our website, web.mit.edu/hemisphere. So before we start our show, we'd like to share the song with you. The song is called Semevan. Oh, no, actually, it's called Ruperta. Sorry. And this is by Afro-Peruvian artist. His name is Nova Lima. So here it goes.
Como el norte, Nova Lima. Golpe a tierra.
welcome back to Sferio on WMBR. So the song we played, we actually kind of played the wrong song for you. The song we actually played was called Conche Perla. And it's a song, it's an adaptation of a traditional song by Rosa Mercedes Ayarza. And it's based on one of the most recognized melodies in Peru. And Conche Perla means mother of pearl. So it's Peruvian music. And so right now, Jasmine, do you want to tell us about what you're going to play?
Yeah. So as we mentioned earlier, today we're going to talk about the conflicts of, I guess, gang members in Mexico. And before we do that, we'd like to play you this clip that we found on CNN. It's this reporter who's caught in the shootout, and he's just describing the situation that's going on. So he's speaking Spanish. So after we play this clip, we are going to translate for you. But this is coming from CNN. And we just want you to listen carefully to the situation and things that are going on in Mexico right now. So.
Y también hay otras situaciones que se están dando en nuestra ciudad. ¿Estás grabando?
Estoy grabando todo.
Continúan, lo que usted escucha son disparos de arma a fuego, calibre de fusil, y también hay sonido más fuerte aún de lo que está ocurriendo en esta frontera de Reynosa. El enfrentamiento entre fuerzas federales y lo que viene siendo prácticamente alguna célula de delincuencia organizada. El armamento que usted escucha en este momento es un enfrentamiento entre fuerzas federales y delincuencia organizada.
So, that's drug violence right there in Mexico. You can find this on CNN.com, so that's just FYI. So basically what he said in the movie clip was that there are blockades on the international bridge, and this is the situation occurring in our city. Are you recording? What you are hearing are gunshots from hard guns, and the even louder sound that you hear is our city of Reynosa. Is the confrontation between federal troops and organized crime. So basically, there's sort of like a civil war. Actually, on CNN, they describe it as a civil war, and it's this huge fight going on between the gang members and the government trying to, control each other. And now Mary's going to read the article that we found.
So on CNN, to introduce it, I'm going to read you an article they called Drug Violence Spins Mexico Towards Civil War. And and it's by Arthur Rice at CNN. A shootout in a border city that leaves 5 alleged drug traffickers sprawled dead on the street and 7 police wounded. A police chief and his bodyguards gunned down outside of his house in another border city. 4 bridges into the United States shut down by protesters who want the military out of their towns and who officials say are backed by narco traffickers. That was Mexico on Tuesday. What is most remarkable is that it's not that much different from Monday or Sunday or any day in the past few years. Mexico, a country with a nearly 2,000-mile border with the United States, is undergoing a horrifying wave of violence that some are likening to a civil war. Drug traffickers battle fiercely with one another and Mexican authorities. The homicide rate reached a record level in 2008, and indications are that the carnage could be exceeded this year. Every day, newspapers and the airwaves are filled with stories and images of beheadings and other gruesome killings. Wednesday's front page on Mexico's city's La Prensa carried a large banner headline that simply said hysteria. The entire page, I lost my place. The everyday newspapers and the airwaves are filled with stories and images of beheadings and other gruesome killings. The Prensa, the newspaper, carried a large banner headline that said hysteria, and the entire page was devoted to photos of bloody bodies and grim-faced soldiers. One photo shows a man with two young children walking across the street with an army vehicle in the background, with the soldiers standing at the turret machine gun. Larry Bims, director of the Washington-based Council on Hemisphere Affairs, calls it a sickening vertigo into chaos and plunder. By most accounts, that's not hyperbole. The grisly portrait of the violence is unprecedented and horrific, said Robert Pastor, a Latin American national security advisor for President Jimmy Carter in the late 1970s. I don't think there's any question that Mexico is going through a very rough time. Not only is there violence with the gangs, but the entire population is very scared, said Peter Hackam, president of the Inter-American Dialogue, a Washington-based policy center. Speaking on a news show a few weeks ago, former House Senator Newt Gingrich called it a civil war. Bims agrees. Of course it's a civil war, but that only touches the violence of it, he said Wednesday. It's also a civic conflict, as an increasing number of people look upon the law and democratic values as something that can be violated. Hackam is not prepared to go that far. One has to be careful and not overdo it, he said. Mexico is a long way from being a failed state. Mexico has real institutions. It paves roads and collects the garbage. It holds regular elections. Enrique Bravo, an analyst with the Eurasia Consulting Group, points out that the violence so far is mostly affecting just drug gangs and is primarily localized along the U.S. border and Mexico's western coast. The violence along the border is particularly worrisome, analysts say. The spillover into the U.S. is bound to expand and bound to affect U.S. institutions. Pastor and Hackam note that the U.S. helps fuel the violence not only by providing a ready market for illegal drugs, but also by supplying the vast majority of weapons used by drug gangs. Pastor says there is at least 6,600 U.S. gun shops within 100 miles of the Mexican border, and more than 50% of weapons in Mexico come from the United States. And it's not just handguns. Drug traffickers used a bazooka in Tuesday's shootout with federal police and army soldiers in Reynosa, Mexico, across the border from McAllen, Texas. The drug gangs are better equipped than the army, Hackam said. Pervasive corruption among public officials is central to the drug cartel's success. There's so much money involved in the drug trade, there's so much fear involved in the drug trade, that no institution can survive unaffected. This has really revealed just how corrupt Mexican office holders are, Hackam said. So that's just some of the article that CNN has about the situation in Mexico, which is really getting depressing, as you can probably tell. And it highlighted some of the issues with the U.S., which is that the U.S. is supplying a lot of the guns for the violence. So do you want to add something, Jasmine?
I just want to remind everyone that you're more than welcome to call us at 617-253-8810 in basically any languages. And we'd love to hear from you about your perspective on what's going on in Mexico. And especially, I guess if you're from Latin America or people who are very interested in Latin American issues, maybe you could tell us about, I guess, your own spin into the story. So just wanted to tell you that. I don't know. I mean, I guess all I really know about Mexico is what I read from the newspaper, right? And some Mexican friends that I have. And one friend that I have who actually goes here, she goes back to Mexico every break. So like Thanksgiving break, winter break, whatever. And this time when she went back for winter break, she was like, I was really scared to be there. I really wanted to come back. And like, I don't think I'm going back for spring break. And like, for me, that was really interesting and strange all at the same time because, you know, it's her home, right? So I feel like the danger level has to be, like, really high for her to say that. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. She really likes Mexico. That's where she's from. But she was saying that she doesn't want to go back anymore because the violence is so huge. And, like, the thing is, this is actually like kind of like a war between, I guess, drug lords and the government, right? And the government is trying to I guess destroy like the drug system that's going on. So it seems very positive to me. Like it seems like this is a very positive thing, and they are fighting against corruption. But there's like so much violence involved that it's very striking, and yeah.
Yeah, I think what the article said is probably the saddest thing, because like it said, the U.S. isn't really helping matters, and I think it said more than 50% of the guns that the gang members are using are from the U.S., and yeah, so it's not a very good situation. I think we're going to have another song for you, so...
So the next song that we'll play is this is Mexican-American band, and they are basically playing different songs that they like from Latin America, and this one's called Puro Party. It's very, like, happy, which is kind of going against the theme that we are doing today, but I guess this shows the musical roots that the Mexican-Americans share in America, and I guess that's something that maybe we are looking forward to see in Mexico as well, that the unity between the government and, I guess, the drug people. So anyways, the song is called Puro Party, and it's by Dr. Loco's Rocking Jalapeno Band. Okay. Welcome back to Spherio. We are here in Cambridge, WMBR, and we just wanted to remind you that you are more than welcome to call us during our show. Our number is 617-253-8810, and you can call us in Portuguese, French, Spanish, and English. And I also speak Korean, so Just FYI. So we were just talking earlier about the gang violence in Mexico and how crazy the situation is. And we found another article that was very interesting to us because it's about what U.S. can do to stop the gang violence. So I found this article from the Associated Press, and it's by Eduardo Castillo. And this was written on February 18th, 2009. More than 50 U.S. lawmakers sent a letter to President Barack Obama urging him to enforce a ban on importing assault weapons, saying many such guns are later smuggled south to arm Mexico's ruthless drug cartels. They come to the United States from Europe and other places, and they make their way down to Mexico. Republican Elliot Angel, a New York Democrat, told reporters in Mexico City on Wednesday. The ban was implemented under the administration of President George H.W. Bush and President Bill Clinton, and the U.S. government can enforce it under provisions of the 1968 Gun Control Act. But the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, or ATF, has quietly abandoned the ban in recent years. The lawmakers said in their letter, the ATF declined to comment. As a result, the civilian firearm market is flooded with imported inexpensive military-style assault weapons from primarily former Eastern Bloc countries, including Romania, Bulgaria, and the former Yugoslavia, the letter said. All 53 makers who signed were Democrats. The ATF estimates that 90% of weapons seized in Mexico come from sources within the United States. Mexico has long demanded that the U.S. do more to stop the flow of weapons south, and Obama has pledged to step up those efforts. Congress included $10 million in the economic stimulus package approved last week for the ATF's Project Gun Runner, which targets gun trafficking networks in the U.S. Mexico's drug violence has rapidly escalated despite President Felipe Calderon's deployment of 45,000 soldiers across the country to fight cartels. Drug gangs behead their rivals and attack police on a near daily basis, especially in cities near the U.S. border. Last year, more than 6,000 people were killed in drug violence, double the previous year's rate. Mexico police frequently complain of being outgunned by drug gangs. In some small towns, entire police forces have quit in terror following attacks on their colleagues. On Tuesday, federal police fighting gunmen in the northern border city of Reynosa had to call the army for help. After the fighting, which left 5 gunmen dead and 7 police injured, authorities seized several assault rifles and even a 60-millimeter mortar. In a recent report, the Federal Attorney General's office said Mexican authorities have seized the most weapons from the Gulf drug cartel and its gang of hitmen, known as the Zetas. Members of the cartel have been found with rocket launchers, grenade launchers, and weapons capable of piercing armor. So, I guess a lot of U.S. lawmakers are aware of the issue and trying to enforce some type of ban so that Mexican gangs will have, I guess, fewer sources of receiving the arms. But I think this just goes to show how serious the issue is, that like an international community is being awakened by what's going on in Mexico and they're trying to do something about it. So, yeah, and for those of you who are listening right now and who have, I guess, other ideas on what U.S. can do or what United States citizens could do to improve the situation in Mexico, please give us a call at 617-253-8810. We'll love to hear from you. And we have another article ready for you, which is about how this gang violence is spreading across Latin America. It's not just something like a national issue just in Mexico, but it's actually spreading. And this article specifically talks about what's going on in Guatemala. So I found this article from Reuters, and this was written on February 18th, 2009. And this article is by Sarah Granger. Guatemala, scarred by years of civil war and rampant street gang crime, is suffering a new scourge as violent Mexican drug traffickers put down deep roots in the country. A Mexican army crackdown has driven some cartels to seek a haven for their operations across the border in Guatemala. Attracted by endemic corruption, weak policing, and its position on the overland smuggling route north for Colombian cocaine. That is a headache for President Alvaro Colom, as the cartels employ the same violent tactics that have sown terror in Mexico. They are moving in because Guatemala is a paradise for drug traffickers. It's a poor country with a lot of corruption, and the judicial system is very weak, Guatemala Vice President Rafael Espada told Reuters in a recent interview. Scores of Mexican traffickers are operating in Guatemala, including members of the Sinaloa cartel, run by top fugitive Joaquin Shorty Gunsman, that's his name, and the rival Gulf cartels named Zetas Wing, officials say. It's the biggest challenge for Colom's government, said Guatemalan political analyst Manuel Villacorta. Colom's security forces lack money, recruits, equipment, guns, and intelligence to face the Mexicans, he said. It's impossible for Guatemala, with the resources it has, to be able to address the problem. As in Mexico, where about 6,000 people were murdered in the drug war last year, the cartels buy off Guatemalan police and army officers, as well as judges and politicians, to protect their business and pose a long-term threat to its democracy. Guatemala's 1960-96 civil war left more than 200,000 dead, and street gangs that sprang up after the conflict have pushed the murder rate to among the highest in the Americas. Colom was elected a year ago on a crime-fighting platform, but 2008 was one of the most violent years on record, with more than 6,000 murders out of a population of just 13 million. The biggest challenge is that the rival drug traffickers linked to Mexican gangs killed 17 people in Guatemala in December, and 16 passengers were murdered and burned on a bus believed to have cocaine stashed on board. Neighboring Mexico is pumping billions of dollars into its drug war, but has still failed to gain the upper hand against cartels, and the number of murders has soared. Sandino Estrias, head of a Guatemalan think tank, said the country had more guns now than during the civil war. Legal ammunition sales alone have more than doubled to 50,000 rounds a year since the mid-1990s. The smugglers pick up drugs from small planes that once flew from Colombia to Caribbean islands near Florida, but now land at private airstrips hidden in Guatemalan jungle. The cargo is then moved off through Mexico to the U.S. border. Colom is trying to tackle corruption, firing hundreds of police and bringing new defense and interior ministers. The police and military were all contaminated and paid by the narco traffickers, from high-ranking officers all the way down to the guy who cleans the cars, Espada said. Guatemala has also arrested dozens of drug suspects and torched huge marijuana and poppy fields, but it is struggling. The U.S. government has sent speedboats and night vision goggles under a regional drug aid package, but much more is needed. 3/4 of the cocaine leaving Colombia is now thought to go through Central America, and the elusive Mexican smuggler Guzman is rumored to use hideouts in Guatemala and Honduras, although Mexican security officials say he's holed up in the mountains of Mexico. So that's another article that we had for you. Now we are going to listen to another song. And the song is called...
The song is called Espinas del Alma, and it's by Tierra Caliente. And it's kind of similar to Mexican mariachi. It's Mexican music. And the English translation of the song is Thorns in the Soul.
amada ingrata. Tú siempre te vas y a mí me dejas con el corazón herido. Ay, cuando vuelvas no me encuentres viva, irás a mi tumba.
Tune into Africa Kabisa, Boston's only African music radio show, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. on 88.1 FM, WMBR, Cambridge.
Hi, welcome back to Spherio, the local voice of our hemisphere. We are here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Today we're just talking about the Mexican gang violence and how it's spreading out to the rest of Latin America and how dangerous the situation is. As we've been mentioning throughout the show, you're more than welcome to call us at 617-253-8810 to give us your perspectives on the issue. And now I'm going to read you another article that describes a specific case that Mexican gang victims had to go through, and it's actually pretty sad. So this article I found on the BBC website, and this was wait, let me try to find. Oh, okay, there you go. Okay, so the bodies of 10 more murdered victims have been found by police in the Mexican city of Tijuana, where gang violence has escalated recently. Five of the latest victims were found in an abandoned van near a shopping center, and the decapitated bodies of two others were found by a road. State prosecutors have blamed the killings of a drug turf war. More than 50 people have been killed in the past week in Tijuana, a key transit point for drugs trafficked to the U.S. It is not just the suspected gang members who have been targeted in Mexico's recent spate of killings. On Saturday, the mayor of Ixtapan de la Sal, a tourist city near the Mexican capital, was gunned down as he traveled in a vehicle with other officials. BBC America's analyst Warren Bull says that the motive for the murder is still unclear, but public officials are major targets for crime gangs, especially if they are perceived to be a threat to illicit business. Last week, the authorities found 16 bodies in 24 hours, most showing signs of having been trussed up and tortured. On Tuesday, President Felipe Calderon sent a series of measures to Congress aimed at fighting a wave of drug-related violence that has killed more than 3,000 people so far this year. The package includes a proposal to set up a department to monitor and tackle corruption among Mexican police. President Calderon launched a nationwide battle almost 2 years ago to reclaim territory controlled by some of the world's most powerful drug gangs. But the cartels have responded with unprecedented violence, including kidnappings and killings that have sparked public outrage and huge street protests. Interesting. Mary, do you have any 2 cents on this?
I don't know a whole lot about it, but something that you were saying earlier that I really thought of was that you said how you were talking about you have friends from Mexico who are so affected by it. Like, I also have some friends who are Mexican, and maybe actually Froilan can come later today, our other host, because he's from Mexico, and he would have a lot. I'm sure he would have a lot to say about it, but it seems kind of like a distant, far-off thing until you know someone who's, like, experiencing it, and then suddenly it's like, oh, my God, it's really bad what's happening. I think we're going to have some music right now.
Well, before we have another music, which is also really good, I'd like to share another story that I found on BBC. What I'm trying to tell our readers, or no, listeners, not readers, is that how horrible it is, and what, like, the type of, I guess, torture. It's like living torture, right? You are too scared to I guess, go out. And if you have, like, a job in public office, then your position is even more dangerous because of, I guess, your status. And, like, how scary would that be to be living in that country? And I guess this is just another article that describes how the drug gang, I guess, tortures normal people. And I found it on BBC. A man arrested by Mexican police says he disposed of 300 bodies for a drug gang over the past decade, by dissolving them in chemicals. Santiago Meza, called a stew maker, said he was paid $600 a week to dissolve the bodies of murdered rival gang members in caustic soda. He was presented to the media by the Mexican army after being arrested on Thursday near the city of Tijuana. Over 700 people died in the U.S. border city last year in an ongoing drugs war. The Mexican army says it believes Mr. Meza's claims are true. "They brought me the bodies and I just got rid of them," Mr. Meza told journalists at a construction site where he disposed of the bodies over a 10-year period. "I didn't feel anything. The 300 corpses were said to belong to murder rivals of Mexican drug kingpin Teodoro Garcia Cimental, who is battling for control over drug trafficking routes through Tijuana after defecting from the powerful Arellano Felix cartel." Mr. Meza was quoted by AP News Agency as saying that he would apologize if he could speak to relatives of the victims. Mexico's drug violence has surged and grown more gruesome in recent years, particularly in the northern border cities of Tijuana and Ciudad Juarez. Also on Friday, two human heads were found inside coolers near a police station in the central Guanajuato state, officials said. The heads were accompanied by note-threatening allies of the La Familia drug cartel. Drug-related violence claims 5,700 lives across Mexico last year, more than doubled the number of victims in 2007. So now we are going to listen to a song, and the song is called El Corrido de Chaca, La Tabolera, excuse my Spanish. This song in English is called The Table Dancer, and it gives you like an army feeling when I first heard it. So I think it's very interesting. And this song is by Elia Nuovas. And let me just read you a little bit of the lyrics that it says. So the title is The Table Dancer. That girl arrived on the Red Arrow and bus with her patent leather high heels, life of mine. I, my little dark one, such good thing as Taka I have not seen. In those days, she was only 14 when her mother went to her man. Since she was little, she was easy to take, but one dark night, Taka escaped. "Sing to me, Taka, a little country song, because the memories are going to kill me. Sing me to Taka." And yeah, so those are the lyrics, and I just wanted to play
like
that.
Technical difficulty with
the CD. Yeah, I think we are. Okay, I guess the CD is not working. In that case,
we might listen to another song instead.
Yeah, but we'll definitely play that song for you guys later. So, this song is...
Africa Cabisa is back, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Tune in to the best music from the African continent and beyond with Suku...
Oh,
Hello, and welcome back to Sperio on WMBR Cambridge, 88.1, the local voice of our hemisphere. We want to let you know that if you want to call us, you can always do so at 617-253-8810. And you just heard a song. And
that song wasn't the one that we intended to play, so we are gonna let you hear another song that we're trying to play. The song is called El Corrido de Taka, and I was reading the lyrics earlier, and this is by Elia Nouns.
To Sperio. That was a song you just heard.
It's called El Corrido del Taka. And now we're just going to give you a brief background on the Mexican gang violence and I guess like more specific information on it. So Mary is going to talk. Are you ready, Mary?
Yeah. I wanted to read some background, since we've been like reading pretty specific news stuff, but we didn't really give a lot of background. So this is just from Wikipedia, actually. But so during the 1980s and early 1990s, Pablo Escobar was the main exporter of cocaine and dealt with organized criminal networks all over the world, but. After enforcement efforts intensified, their organizations formed partnerships with Mexico-based traffickers to transport cocaine through Mexico into the U.S. So that's kind of like when all this drug trafficking sort of started. And then in the 1980s, the Mexican transport organizations and the Colombian drug traffickers settled on a payment in product arrangement, which meant that transporters from Mexico usually were giving 35% to 50% of each cocaine shipment. During those years, like, violence just kept getting more and more, and there was also some corruption in the government. There was an arrangement between narcotics traffickers and the governments controlled by the Institutional Revolutionary Party, which lost its grip on political power starting in the 80s, but had been a problem. Former President Vicente Fox, in the late 90s, he sent troops to Nuevo Laredo and other places on the U.S.-Mexico border to fight the cartels, but it wasn't very successful. And ever since then, the violence has just been escalating, and right now, as you've heard, it's pretty bad. There was a major battle that took place in April of 2006 between members of the Tijuana and Sinaloa cartels in Tijuana that left some people dead. And there's now automatic weapons being purchased from the U.S. that's mostly the cause of the escalating violence. So I have a little bit of just announcements for you. So...
Wait, Mary, before you go on to the announcement, we have to play the music. Our announcement song. Okay.
Here's what...
It's not working.
Hey, so we're having more technical difficulties associated with this being the first time that we're actually engineering the show. But I do have some announcements for you. The first one is an announcement related to healthcare. So it's called Healthcare as a Human Right, the Venezuelan Experiment. And it's going to be on February 27th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Tufts School of Medicine. And three doctors from Venezuela are going to talk about healthcare in Venezuela and the U.S., so that should be pretty interesting. And it's going to be in the Barracas Auditorium on the first floor of Tufts. So that looks interesting event. And there's another announcement I have, which is the a discussion about independence for La República Dominicana, the Dominican Republic, and it's called Chico Mania en Vivo, and it's going to be on Friday, February 27th, el viernes 27 de febrero, celebrando la independencia de la República Dominicana, and it's going to be in Breezeway Bar and Grill on 153 Blue Hill Avenue, Roxbury, Massachusetts. I'm actually not sure what time it's going to be at, but you can look it up online and find that information out. So I think that's all the announcements I have today.
Kendra has announcements for us as well, so I'm going to turn the mic over to Kendra. And
sure, I have a few announcements. Am I on the air?
Yes,
okay. So one of them is that the MIT Western Hemisphere Project is co-sponsoring a chocolate tasting and lecture next week on Monday, February 23rd, here at MIT in the Status Center, building 120 or room 123, at 7:30 p.m. next week, Monday. And this is going to be a chocolate tasting and lecture with Cagliari Cooperative, who has been on Sferio before and makes amazing chocolate in a cooperative style in Ecuador. The other announcement I have is that the Mexico Solidarity Network is bringing a speaking tour to the region. And there's a few opportunities to hear the speaker, who is Eres López Ovalle, who's a 25-year-old artist and co-founder of Hijos por la Identidad y la Justicia contra el Olvido y el Silencio, which is a human rights organization made up mostly of children of political prisoners and activists who were killed or disappeared in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So she is going to be speaking about that organization, Hijos, work to reconstruct the history of assassinations and disappearances of social actors and celebrate the memory of the victims. Opportunities to hear her Tuesday, February 24th, that's next week, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. at Northeastern University in 135 Shillman Hall. And then Wednesday, February 25th, Western Hemisphere Project is sponsoring an event with her, 7 p.m., that's Wednesday next week, in MIT's Student Center, room 491. And finally, Saturday, February 28th, at 2 p.m. at the Lucy Parsons Center. Edith will also be speaking then. So that's all I have.
So even though we've been basically reading news this whole time, I have some more news for you.
This is coming from Freud, though.
So. Yeah, this is Freud's news, and it's just the normal news that we do at the end of the
and
show.
And before actually you say that, I have a brief message from Freud, who apologizes he wasn't able to escape from his other meeting before he could come speak about his own experiences, because Freud actually grew up in Reynosa, in a city right near Reynosa, which is Camargo. So actually that bridge that we saw at the very beginning of the show, I've been there and crossed the border between the U.S. and Mexico on that bridge outside of Reynosa. So he just wants to mention that, you know, the situation in Reynosa is really hard, especially for people and for activisms. Dice, es muy malo para el activismo porque la gente tiene miedo, aunque sabemos que hay cosas que están mal, pero tenemos miedo de arreglar las cosas porque no se sabe cuándo te pueden matar. So, you know, it's really bad for activism because the people are afraid. We know that there are injustices, things are bad that are happening, but we have too much fear to be putting ourselves on the line to fix what's going on because we never know when you might be the one who is going to be killed. So that's a pretty sad situation.
We have, I guess, just enough time for two news stories that we'd like to share. The first one that we want to share is something about Haitians. U.S. to deport 30,000 Haitians. In Miami, activists have called a protest for Saturday over U.S. government plans to deport some 30,000 Haitians. Earlier this year, the Bush administration rejected a Haitian request to delay the deportations until Haiti recovers from a strong of deadly summer storms.
Y en español, los Estados Unidos deportarán a 30 miles haitianos. En otras noticias de Miami, activistas convocaron una protesta para el sábado por los planes del gobierno estadounidense de deportar aproximadamente a 30 miles haitianos. Este año el gobierno de Bush rechazó un pedido haitiano de postergar las deportaciones hasta que Haití se recupere de una serie de tormentas de verano letales.
The next news is Guatemala apologized to Cuba for Bay of Pigs. Guatemala has issued a formal apology to Cuba for taking part in the U.S. Bay of Pigs invasion of 1961. The Kennedy administration used Guatemalan soil to train the group of militants used in the ultimately failed attack. On Tuesday, Guatemalan President Alvaro Colom said he wished to officially ask Cuba for forgiveness. The U.S. has never apologized for the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Guatemala se disculpa con Cuba por invasión de Bahía de Cochinos. Guatemala se disculpó formalmente con Cuba por participar en la invasión estadounidense de Bahía de Cochinos del año 1961. El gobierno de Kennedy utilizó el territorio guatemalteco para entrenar al grupo de militantes usados en lo que resultó ser un ataque fallido. En martes, el presidente guatemalteco Álvaro Colom dijo que deseaba pedirle perdón a Cuba oficialmente. Los Estados Unidos...
The next news is...
Okay, the next news. Obama ordered 17,000 troops to Afghanistan. In his most significant military decision to date, President Obama has ordered an additional 17,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan. The move fulfills a campaign pledge to increase the size of the U.S. occupation. The new deployments will take effect in May, increasing the U.S. occupation force to 55,000, a 50% rise. Another 32,000 non-U.S. NATO troops are also in Afghanistan. The news came as the U.S. said Afghan civilian casualties jumped by nearly 40% last year. U.S.-led forces were responsible for nearly 40% of the deaths, killing 828 people out of reported 2,100 casualties. Y en español, Obama dispone envío de 17,000 soldados a Afganistán. En la decisión militar más importante adaptada hasta el momento, el presidente Obama ordenó el envío de 17,000 soldados estadounidenses más a Afganistán. La decisión de cumplimiento a una promesa de la campaña electoral de aumentar la ocupación estadounidense. Los nuevos despliegues tendrán lugar en mayo y aumentarán las fuerzas de ocupación de los Estados